we probably have more material than we can cover today, so let's begin as quickly as possible. Jason, we can
start That's great. Father, we thank you just for the wonderful blessing of fellowship in your Son. Lord, we are grateful, not worthy, but grateful. And Lord, we pray now as we gather on your day, pray that you would set our hearts right now, even as we are blessed to learn and open your word and think through these things, Lord. We pray for Jerry, Lord, as he teaches us. We pray for our own hearts, that you would open them. And Lord, we do pray that this would be a time not only where we're built up, but where you are glorified. So Father, we commit this morning to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, so last week we covered the part of the story of the Old Testament. We haven't gone to the New Testament yet. We went to Exodus and we went to Deuteronomy. What did we learn in Exodus and Deuteronomy? Okay, the Lord is Israel's healer. Okay. Why does he use the word healer over there? What's the context?
Because he's going to essentially, he threatens the diseases he gives to Egypt.
He doesn't threaten, he promises.
Okay.
Right? He says the diseases on Egypt will come on them if what happens?
They disobey.
Yeah, if they disobey. Good, Luke. Disobey what? His laws. Right? Because if they disobey his laws, they're just like the Gentiles. So, but unlike what happened to Egypt, right, he promises them something else, that he will heal them. What causes the disease? Disobedience. What brings healing then?
Obedience.
Obedience, okay? So right through the prophets and right through the text, if Israel needs to be healed, they need to
obey.
Right? And so in order to heal them, he will bring about obedience. Alright, what else did we see? What was their role? What were they supposed to be?
Light to the nations.
Light, exactly. The light to the nations. In what role?
In grace.
Yes, okay. Okay, but in Isaiah, what was Israel called? Isaiah 42.
The servant.
The servant. Right? And then we learned about this servant. What happened to the servant? The servant became... Nope, this servant became, Israel the servant became disobedient, but it used other words. Who is something?
A blind and deaf.
Blind, yeah, blind and deaf, exactly. Right? So they're blind and deaf because of disobedience so far, okay? And then, so what do they need in order to not be blind and deaf? What do they need to not be? Yeah, they need healing, but who's going to heal them?
A singular servant.
A singular servant, exactly. A singular servant is going to come to heal the plural servant. Right? And when the singular servant comes to heal the plural servant will then become a?
Light to the nations.
Right? So far, that's what we've seen in the Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's see how it plays out. Okay? You can turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 15 to 21. We have bigger chunks today. Who's going to read Matthew 12, 15 to 21? You got it, all right. Tyler.
Matthew 12, 15 to 21. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, in order for them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope.
Okay, where's this text from?
Isaiah 42.
Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 is referring to plural or singular? Plural. Isaiah 49 is referring to the singular. Isaiah 42 is referring to the?
Plural.
Because it says, who is blind but my servant? Israel. Sorry, who is blind but my servant? Jesus is not the blind servant. Jesus is not the deaf servant. So the singular servant is not blind and deaf like the servant in Isaiah 42. Does that make sense? So who is the Isaiah 42 servant? The plural servant. And now, this text is referring to a plural servant. So far, so good? All right. Why is this text referring to a plural servant? It's speaking about the nation of Israel. Exactly. What does he not want them to do? He told them not to do something.
Not to make him known.
What is making him known? Light to the nations. Okay? He doesn't want them to make him known. Why? What happens just before this? Sorry?
He healed,
but just before that, remember?
The man with the...
withered hand. What was the response to the man with the withered hand?
I think he said not to tell anyone.
No. What was their response when he healed him?
They conspired.
Yeah, what do they say? What do they do?
Scheme to destroy him?
Yes, so they scheme to destroy him. So when the singular servant came to heal the plural servant, what did the plural servant start doing in response? Conspired against him. If this plural servant does not accept the singular servant, the plural servant cannot be released to be a light to the nations. Alright? So he's told them, I don't want you saying anything right now, because they need to turn to him in repentance. Does that make sense? Right? So now, we also heard about some other people. And I and my children, remember that? Isaiah chapter 8. What are they going to be? The I. The person speaking. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 16 to 22. So the I is actually is the servant. Singular servant. And his children. What are they going to be? They're going to be what?
Signs
and?
Wonders.
Portents. What are portents?
What?
What are portents? It says they're going to be signs and portents. What are portents?
Something's wonders?
Wonders, yeah. Signs and wonders. To whom?
To the nations.
Is it to the nations?
In Israel.
Right? So, this singular servant and his children are going to be signs and wonders in Israel, so that Israel, the plural servant, will obey, so that they can be a light to the nations. Do you see the connections? The singular servant and his children are going to be signs and wonders in Israel, so that the plural servant will
obey and be
a light to the nations. Let's do this again. The singular servant and his children are going to be signs and wonders in Israel, so that the plural servant can
obey,
so that they can be a light to the nations. You see the plan? All right. If you lose this plot, everything falls apart. Alright? So the singular servant and his children are going to be signs and wonders in Israel, so that Israel, the
plural
servant, can
obey
and be a light to the nations. Yes.
His children being Gentiles then, or of the new covenant?
We're going. When you go through Matthew, you're going to see the children are actually the disciples. So he says, if you receive one of these little ones, you will receive a disciple. If you receive a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. If you receive one of these little ones, you will receive a disciple's reward. So the children, I'm glad you asked that question. The children are the apostles. To start with. Right through Matthew. Okay? So the servant and his apostles are going to be signs and wonders. So what's happening in Matthew, we're going to go back to Matthew and see this, is Jesus is first demonstrating to his children, and I'm going to show, we're going to go to another passage right now in Matthew. He's demonstrating to his children how the servant should act so that his children can imitate him. Okay? And I'm going to show it to you. So here he says, I don't want them to do anything because they haven't obeyed yet. Let's take the big story and then we'll go over more passages. Okay, I just want to go through the bigger story first and then we'll go through more passages. Acts 13 verse 47. Acts 13 verse 47. If you can read starting verse 45 to 47. Go 45 to 47.
But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reminding them. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
Okay, so what's happening here? Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel, and then who's opposing them?
The Jews are opposing them,
right? Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with
jealousy.
They saw which crowds, though? Which kind of crowd? A Gentile crowd. So the Jews saw the Gentile crowd and they were filled with
jealousy.
And what do they want to do? They wanted to contradict what Paul was saying. And we're going to see some more examples of this. They wanted to contradict what Paul was saying. What are the Jews supposed to be? A light to the nations. What were they doing instead? They were disobedient and they were actually pushing back against what the children were saying. Right? They didn't like that the light was going to the nations. Right? Because they were disobedient. And so what happens? The Paul then says, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to y'all. Plural. Who's y'all?
The Jews.
Right? So right through the story, first the gospel went to the Jews. And then what do they do? Yeah, you thrust it aside. But did all Jews thrust it aside? No. Who are the Jews that believed, first of all? Yes, the apostles. Perfect. So, what are the apostles now saying? Since you guys have thrust it aside and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we, who's we? We, the apostles, the believing Jews, are going
to
do what? Are going to turn to the Gentiles because the Lord has commanded who?
The Lord has commanded the apostles.
Has commanded us. Actually, us is not just the apostles, but the apostles are the only believing Jews at this time, right?
Yeah.
To do what?
To preach the word.
No, that's right here in verse 47. So the Lord has commanded us saying?
The light for the Gentiles, that they bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
Where's that quote from?
That's from 49.
Where's it from?
Isaiah 42 and 49.
But 42 is referring to the plural servant. 42 is referring to the plural servant. Alright? So it's from Isaiah 42. He has commanded us, plural, to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the world. But these plural servants, how are they able to see? Who gave them sight?
The singular.
The singular servant came. So the singular servant came and gave sight to these apostles, right?
Yes.
Right? So he was able to help these Jews believe. And now these Jews want to go give light. But those Jews are saying, no, we don't want you to do it. So he says, all right, move to the side. We'll obey the Lord because of the commission that the Lord has given us in terms of our roles. Does that make sense so far? Any questions? Yes?
Did you say that it was Isaiah 42?
Two? Verse 6.
Okay.
Do you see it?
Could it not also be 49?
It could be. But 49 is to a singular, and 42 is to a plural.
Well, because verse 5 of 49 says...
Yes?
That Israel might be gathered to him. For
yes.
I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord, my God.
Yes, so who is going to heal Israel? A singular servant is going to heal Israel in 49. Because in 42, Israel is blind and deaf. So the 49th servant has to go to the 42 servant, so the 42 servant can go to the nations. Do you see how it works? There's a problem that the 42 servant has caused. He has a commission that was given to him all the way in Exodus. I want you to be a kingdom of priests. And he has refused to listen to the Lord, so by his disobedience, the diseases have come upon him. And because the diseases have come upon him, God has to send a singular servant to heal the plural servant,
which is Israel,
so that the plural servant will be released to be the kings and priests to the nations. Does that make sense so far? And that's the argument that Isaiah is walking through. And then from 49, it goes all the way to 53, where, how are they healed? By his stripes they're healed. Okay, so he will have to become a sacrifice so that judicially God can actually forgive them. Okay? And so far so good with the concept? The singular servant has to release the plural servant so that the plural servant can be a light to the nations. The singular servant came in the Gospels. Some of the plural servant. Remember, we learned, not all Israel is Israel, right? So those that received him and believed were released to do what? To be a light to the nations.
Yeah.
And to bring the gospel. Their first burden is to bring the gospel to the Jews. To the Jews first, so that they will turn, so that they will be a light to the nations. And the ones that don't believe, the ones that don't believe have shown themselves unworthy of what?
Healing.
Of salvation or eternal life. Exactly. So far, so good. I'll slow down. But another thing I'll try to do is, even if I'm fast, I'll try to repeat it over and over and over again so we get it, right? This is important. If we don't get this, there's a lot of confusion around healings and tongues and all of these pieces. Because we don't understand how all the people, remember, all the people on the stage, what their roles are. Remember we said, on the stage, different people have roles, different people have costumes, and if we don't understand what people's roles are, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to do what everybody else is doing, there's just chaos. Right? But God's already set up an order and a role. And he's working through his order and his role. And we won't understand what he's doing unless we understand what he has already said in his word about people's orders and what their roles are. And what their service is. So far so good?
Yeah, and the servants too, that also would be the prophets and stuff?
The prophets gave a model, like Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave a model of what this final servant of the Lord is going to be like. Right? So the servant of the Lord is an individual. The servant of the Lord is essentially actually Israel. The Son of God is whom? this one, but there's also the Son of God, who is Israel. Because he says, Moses says to Pharaoh, let my firstborn go. Israel is my firstborn son. Let my firstborn go, or I will kill your firstborn. He says that to Pharaoh. All right? So there's this interplay of this leader and the people that he leads, and an identity that they share together. Right? The son and the son. The servant and the servant. The king priest and the king priest. Right? So there's a singular and there's a plural. And they share a common identity. The leader and his people. I know it's new, but we're going to go through this again once we start talking about healing. Alright, I just have one more passage to finish off what I started last week, and then we'll go back into healing. Alright, so now let's go to Acts 28, verse 23 to 31. So in the previous passage in Acts, we said, the apostle said, we come to you first with the gospel. We come to you first with the gospel, right? Something else is going to happen now in Acts 28. This is the end of the story. Is there any more narrative? Is there any more narrative after Acts 28 in the Bible? Sorry? Is there any more story, or narrative in the Bible after Acts 28? Sorry? But in the inspired text, is there anymore? There isn't. Acts 28 is kind of the end of the narrative of any story in the Bible. The Bible doesn't have any story after that. Yeah, it's all epistles afterwards, right? And the epistles look back at some of these stories and incidents, but there isn't any other actually story happening afterwards. Does that make sense? So what's the end of the story? Acts 28 is the end of the story. Remember the story books and the time books and the color books that we studied? What moves the story forward? So if I'm in Acts 28 and I say, what happens next, where are you going to go?
Acts 29.
I play on it in. Yeah. So if I'm Acts 28 and I say, what happens next? Which book do I turn to? Someone says Revelation, but there's no story, right?
Yeah.
And Romans is not a story. Romans is complementing what's happening in Acts.
So you're asking after Acts, what do we go to?
Yeah, for story. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. So that's the end. So I'm getting us to the end. So we know what the end of the storyline is. Because after Acts 28, there's no story. So we're living pretty much in the Acts 28 type of the story. Moving on until Christ comes. Alright? So something's happening in Acts 28. What's happening in Acts 28? Let's someone can read 23 to 31.
When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God.
Okay, who's they? Just pause. Who's they?
The apostles.
It's verse 17. Okay. So he's talking to the leaders of the Jews. Alright? Okay, let's continue.
About the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses, from the prophets, from morning until evening. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. And when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute amongst themselves. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ with all openness, unhindered.
So what's different over here? What's happening? So he's gone to the ends of the earth, right? You will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what's the ends of the earth for him? Does he have a whole globe like we have right now? No. Right? So he's reached the ends of the earth, and who does he talk to? No? To the Jews. Right? He goes to the Jewish leaders. Because he says, it was required that to you first, the gospel should come. So, but what is he telling them now? He's presenting the gospel to them, and some believed, and others didn't believe, because not all Israel is Israel. Because not all Israel is Israel. Right? Not all Israel believes. Some Israel believes. The rest of them disbelieve, right? And because they haven't believed, he says,
they're blind and deaf, just like they had mentioned.
Exactly. Right? Just like Isaiah had talked about it before. They're blind and deaf. So now, something different is going to happen. What's going to happen?
Therefore.
Yes. Good. Very good. You've got the connector. Very good. Therefore, what? Let me known to y'all, or you guys. Who is the y'all?
The Jews.
Yes, the Jewish leaders. Yes.
That the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.
They will listen. Right? So now there's a turning to the Gentiles. There's a turning to the Gentiles. And that's how the story ends. You see how it ends? Now there's a turning to the Gentiles, and then the story ends. And then what do we see historically after that? The church has been predominantly Gentile. Right? Because now, because they've done this, we're going, there was all of this, like, you know, Jew first, and then Gentile. Jew first, and then Gentile. And now, we're going to the Gentiles. Alright? Does God have a plan for the Jews?
Yes.
Yes. But because they have refused, he's put a partial guardian on them. And now, gospel's going to the Gentiles so that they will be
jealous.
And we're going to see the same. We saw it already, and we're going to see it again. Alright? So what's happening at the end of the narrative is now there's a shift. And the shift is, we're going to the Gentiles. Okay? So, if now on the stage, the parts have changed and the roles have changed, maybe there's also a change in the way they interact with each other. So let's go back now and talk about healings. And let's see, how did it play out in the Old Testament? How was it promised? Right? And how did things change? Perhaps by Acts 28, where it was not the case up until Acts 27. Does that make sense? We're going to do that. Okay, so we're going to go through the entire story again, all the way from Exodus. And we're going to talk about how healing's working. I haven't started with healing, we're just talking about the story. Because right through the story, you're going to see this healing, deaf, blind, all of these things intertwined. We're going to go back now, we're going to talk about healing. We're going to go through the story again and say, how does it work? Does it play out the way we expect it to play out? Who are the main parties? Like, who's actually doing the demonstration? Who's the audience? Who's the secondary audience? And what's the expected response? Right? So remember, with the story of Exodus, who's on the stage in the story of Exodus?
Moses.
Who else?
Pharaoh.
Who else? Wait, you forgot the protagonist. The good guy, the main good guy. God. Everybody else is a supporting actor, right? Yeah, the main character on the stage is God. Now, who's the audience of the events of Exodus, the plagues and everything? Who's the audience?
Israel.
I heard Egypt and Israel. What is the answer?
Israel.
It's Israel. That they might know who Yahweh is. Okay? Egypt is being judged in front of their eyes. The gods of Egypt are being judged in front of their eyes, that they might know who is God is. Who's the audience on the stage? Pharaoh and Egypt are the audience on the stage looking at what God is doing. But Israel is watching all of this. And when they come out, God says something to them in Exodus chapter 15. So Exodus 15, verse 26. We've read this already. We're going to go to the same passage again. Exodus 15, 26. So they've come out. Pharaoh and his army, they've drowned in the sea. There's a song of Moses. So who's the audience? Who is the audience all along? What does God tell? God tells Israel. In Exodus 15 and verse 26. 1-5, verse 26.
If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God.
Alright, so what should they do? Obey the Lord, right? So what are they supposed to get coming out of that? The Lord is the ruler over all. If you don't listen to me, I'm going to do to you what I did to them. So audience, so the curtains are down, right? Moses is now standing in front of the curtains. He's the mouthpiece of God, right? In this place. And he says, guys, this is what the Lord's saying. You saw what just happened, right? Now, you better obey. Otherwise, what you saw happen on the stage is going to happen to
you.
And then there's one more line. For I am the Lord, your healer, right? So we talked about this already. So who's the healer? The healer is the Lord. What is the Yahweh? Yahweh in the Bible is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alright? All three of them are Yahweh. Not just Jesus, not just the Father, not just the Holy Spirit. All three of them are Yahweh. Okay? Yeah. In some places, you see Jesus talk about himself as Yahweh. In other places, you see when God refers to the Lord, when the apostles refer to the Lord in the Old Testament, they refer to the Father. And in some places, you even see that where Yahweh is talking in the Old Testament, the apostles say God spoke by the Holy Spirit.
Now, in this case, it is.
We don't know the answer.
The Bible doesn't say Yahweh. We're saying y'all.
These. No,
you're not hearing.
Sorry, Yahweh is the healer over here. Yes. That's all it says. Okay. Yeah. What is the disease? You're absolutely right. The disease is actually the diseases on Egypt. What's the root cause of the disease?
Disobedience.
If they try to take medicine for their diseases, what are they actually curing? The symptoms. If they have to get rid of the disease, what should they actually do?
Obey.
So what will the healer do in order to remove the diseases?
He will...
Sorry? He will cause them to obey. The only way they can be healed of their diseases is if they obey. But we're going to see through the story. Well, we can't see it now. But when you read Deuteronomy and when you read the prophets, he has to give them a new heart. And he will cause them to obey.
But in this case, though, he's the healer, which is the Lord, mm-hmm. He hardens all the hearts of the Egyptians or of Pharaoh, so that he really never comes.
And he never also tells Pharaoh, I am your healer. Who does he say it to? He says it to the Israelites. Okay? We have to see how the story plays out.
It's interesting, though, that he hardened both hearts, too. Both Israel, Egypt first, and then Israel later. We just finished reading that their hearts were hardened as well.
Yes, but it doesn't say he hardened their hearts. In fact, he warns them. And he says, do not harden your hearts. Because you've seen what happens when your hearts are hardened. Right? You've seen how I've led you all along. And in fact, when they harden their hearts, what do we do to them in the wilderness?
Punish
he tells them later on? Don't harden your hearts like your fathers did. He told the fathers, don't harden your heart like Pharaoh did. Okay? Hardened hearts would then be judged. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58 to 61. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58 to 61. Who's got it? All right, Julie.
If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. How far?
To 61.
And he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also, and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed.
Ooh. Right? So he's now talking to whom? Who's his audience? In Deuteronomy. Yes, but what? Who's specific? The children of the ones that received the law at the mountain. So they were young when God spoke to their parents. And they've seen how God has dealt with them through the wilderness. And now, they're at the end of the 40-year journey. They are now, the adults, receiving the covenant. And they're going to go into where? The promised land. And he says, now, if you don't obey, God is going to bring again on you these diseases and far worse. Because remember what happened in the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness was things like fiery serpents, right? People swallowed up by the earth. Lots of things happened to them, right? And he says, listen, you've seen now what happened to your fathers. You better be careful once you go into the land. If you don't obey, far worse than all the diseases. These diseases will come, but far worse than that is also going to come upon you. All right?
But this, Jason, this is repeated through all the scriptures. Always. If you don't obey, you get destroyed. If you obey, everywhere.
Yes. And because he's going there. Remember, every prophet is measured by whom? By Moses. Every prophet is measured by Moses. If what they're saying doesn't correspond with what Moses says, then you reject them. That's why even in the New Testament, everyone's arguing, are you against the laws of Moses? We follow the laws of Moses. Jesus says, well, if you believe Moses, then you would have believed me.
Right.
What's the plumb line?
Moses,
right? And so right through, you're going to see this. Why? Because the foundation of everything biblical is what the first prophet actually said. God's not saying something different, and he's not going to like reinvent himself. And the Muslims tend to say that, right? You guys didn't obey, so God just wiped all that away and he gave me a new revelation. And then comes Joseph Smith and he's like, you guys didn't obey, so God wiped it all away and now the Mormons have the new revelation, right? But what we're saying is, then God's contradictory, right? And he's not consistent. He is consistent right through his word. And so why do you see this appear again and again? Because the foundation of how he has dealt appears in the writings of Moses. That's how you know whether a prophet is true or not. Okay? And so, now let's go to Psalm 115, verse 1 to 8. Who's got it? Psalm 115. Someone at the back. Someone without facial hair. Kidding. I actually meant Hebrew. But I realized Daryl and Dave and like my dad, Jason. Oh, okay. Psalm 115 was 1 to 8. Anyone, actually, yeah.
Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness and because of your truth. Why should the nation say, where now is their God?
Okay, why would the nation say this? Where is their God? What would cause the nations to say, where is their God?
We talked about the Gentiles, right?
Yeah, why would the Gentiles say about the nations, where is their God?
Well, because they keep disobeying, so they keep being destroyed.
Yes, exactly. Very good. So why should the nation say, where is their God? Look at these people. I thought they had a strong God. I thought they... Didn't they say their God brought them out of Egypt with miracles and great wonders and signs? No, what happened to their God? Right? Why should the nation say that? All right, good. Keep reading.
Where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them.
All right, pause. What does that last verse say? Verse 8.
Those who make them will become like them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so no, that's in the second half?
Everyone who trusts him. So
do all who trust him, or everyone who trusts him. So those who make the idols and those who trust in the idols become like them. And what are they like?
Blind.
Yeah. Their eyes cannot, they're blind, deaf, mute, lame. Right?
Yeah.
Do you see this? Do you see what's happening? So they're not like God. The idols are blind, deaf, mute, lame, right? And those who trust in idols become like them. So now they have a choice. Israel, either you trust in the Lord, or you trust in
idols.
Those who trust in idols become like the idols. And those who trust in the Lord become like the Lord. Exactly. So those who trust in God do what? God does whatever he pleases. So Israel will do whatever he pleases. You see this?
Yeah.
All right. So let's now turn to Isaiah 6. Verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10.
So all those preachers that are preaching today, they're teaching the wrong truths, they're making the rich blind, deaf, and blind.
Yes, correct. Because they're making people trust in a wrong God. Yeah. A God who's okay with sin. A God who says, that's okay, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Right? Makes people who are okay with sin. And says that whatever you do, that's fine. Right? Alright. Isaiah 6, verse 5. Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10.
And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their eye and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.
Ah, how are they going to be healed?
Repenting.
No, before that, they see.
They see and hear.
They hear. They understand. What are they going to see, hear, and understand? Their TV shows. Yes. Whatever the Lord is saying to them. The words of the Lord, which is in the law of the Lord. Right? If they see, hear, and understand, and repent, they will be
healed.
They will be healed. Why are they blind and deaf and mute?
Because they're not obedient.
Rather,
they're
correct. Not obeying God is not a neutral space. Right? Not obeying God is not a neutral space. Not obeying God is worshiping another.
Yeah, there's always something that's God.
Correct. And if you worship something not God, you're worshiping the blind, deaf, mute, lame.
Right. Yeah. However, I don't understand this, where he says, he Isaiah, this commission.
Yeah.
And Isaiah will tell people what it says here, but they do not perceive, but they do not understand. So they, and the people will be insensitive. So no matter what Isaiah preaches, from what I understand, is that people will not turn.
And that judges them. And that's and you know who quotes this later? Acts 28. Acts 28 quotes this. So there are people who turn, and there are people who don't turn.
Yes.
The people who turn are?
Israel, right?
Believing Israel. And the people who don't turn are? Disbelieving or unbelieving Israel.
So what did you say before that? I don't
understand. Before that where?
Before, after I read this again, you were explaining this.
Yeah, what I was saying is the people who don't obey the Lord, there's no neutral space of, well, I'm not obeying the Lord, but I'm really not worshiping those idols. There's nothing neutral. If you're not obeying the Lord, Israel,
you're worshiping
these idols, right? And if you don't want to turn to the Lord, go ahead, be blind. You want to be like the idols, right? Go be blind. You want to be deaf, right? Go be deaf, right? So what he's saying is, if you don't want to obey, please, no, red carpet to the idol. Go have it, right?
Gives them over to themselves.
Yes. And so, what's happening over here is people are blind, deaf, mute, and lame. Why? Because they have become like their gods. What is the response that God wants from them, according to this passage? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. What does he see? Perfect. So what does he see? Is he blind?
No.
No.
God.
He sees God. And what does the psalm say? Where is God seated?
On the throne.
In the heavens. And he does whatever he pleases. And so Isaiah perceives not the idols, but he perceives the Lord seated on the throne above. Right? And his response is, so when he sees the holiness of God, when he sees the Lord seated above, what is his response? Verse 5.
Woe is me, for I am ruined.
Yes, for I am a man of? Yes, for my?
For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Ah, because his eyes have seen the Lord, he has the right response. And what is the right response? I don't need God. I'm righteous. Was that his response?
No.
What does he say?
Yeah.
No. He says something very important.
Yeah, he says, woe is me.
Yes.
He's all lowly.
Yeah, he realizes his sinfulness. And when he admits his sinfulness, what does the Lord do? He cleanses him. Look at verse 7. What is it? I don't want mumbling, please.
Oh,
we're going to do tongues next class.
And you touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin
is atoned for. So does coal actually, in anywhere in the law, does coal actually atone for sin and cleanse?
No.
No.
No,
it
doesn't
here?
Sorry?
Does it not hear that?
It's symbolic of something that comes later on in this book. Of something that atones for sin. Remember, Isaiah is a book of 66 chapters. Right? So the coal comes from where?
Somewhere.
No, it says from here, verse 6.
Oh, it comes from the seraphim.
No.
From the altar.
From the altar. Alright? So just keep that in your mind. Comes from the altar and something happens on an altar. Ah, all right. Let's go to Exodus 4:11 now. And we need to talk about another piece. Exodus 4:11. Exodus 4:11. What does it say?
And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who made him mute, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?
All right, so what does he say?
To be deaf and mute, and blind.
And something else, too? gives them sight.
Yeah.
Right? You see that?
Yeah.
Who's the Lord? Who's making them blind, deaf, mute, and lame over here?
Lord.
Lord.
But he's referring to Moses' clumsiness.
He is. He is. But he's setting up a principle also that builds on later. So Moses does not realize that in 2023, we've become Gnostics. We've removed the spiritual from the physical. Right? So when we think of spiritual blindness, we don't think of physical blindness. When we think of physical blindness, we don't think of spiritual blindness. And right through scripture, the metaphysical and the physical actually touch each other. Meaning, the one who can make someone physically blind is the one who makes them spiritually blind. The one who makes them physically see is the one who can make them spiritually see. Right? So we should stop separating the metaphysical, like the not things that you can touch and feel, from the things that you can touch and feel. There's a connection between the two. Why has he made them blind though? In this? Because of their disobedience. Because of their refusal to see. Because they want to be like their idols. Right? So he's the one that can make them blind. And you're right. Moses was not confident in the way he could speak. And so God is saying, you know this truth about me. You know this truth that I am the creator. I am the one who can make someone blind and someone see, who can make someone mute and someone talk. Then why are you not confident about your speech when I have commissioned you to go? But I wanted to take you back to this high context knowledge that people should be knowing. That the person who actually helps people see and not see is who?
God.
Is God. Humans don't have the power to heal. Humans don't have the power to conceal. Who has the power?
God.
And so when we think about the gift of healing, we have to first ask the question, who is the source of healing? And then the second question is, what is the cause of the disease? So who is the source of healing?
God.
What is the cause of the disease?
Disobedience.
I'm not saying that every disease we have today is because of our disobedience. That's not what I'm saying. Who is the audience?
Israel.
There's specific diseases that were in Israel that indicated Israel's disobedience. So a man born blind, what sin did he do to be born blind?
Sometimes it's just to give God's glory.
Correct. It's not necessarily his sin. But his blindness was indicative of Israel's blindness. Does that make sense? So it doesn't map one to one. I sin, therefore I am blind. I sin, therefore I am lame. Has that happened in the Bible? We're going to see through some of our passages where people do become blind because they oppose God. Right? But it's not one for one. But the blindness in Israel, the lameness in Israel, the deafness in Israel when Jesus arrives on the scene is the physical indication of the metaphysical state or the spiritual state of Israel. So when Jesus is healing them, he is talking also about what he is going to be doing metaphysically with them or spiritually with them. Okay? So we're going to be talking about that a little bit. So far, are we okay? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. We have about 6 more minutes. We'll have to leak a little, like 15 minutes more next week for healing, and then we'll have about 45 minutes on class. Right, so Matthew 8, verse 14 to 15.
And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve them.
All right, so what happened? Who's sick? What's happening? Jew or Gentile?
Jew.
She's ill. What happens? He? Alright. Let's do this. You're correct. I need this. So there's someone who's sick. She belongs to plural servant or singular servant?
Plural.
She belongs to plural servant. She needs to be healed. Is she healed?
Yes.
She's healed. What does she do after she's healed?
She serves.
Ah.
She obeys. Singular servant.
She serves.
Yeah.
So she does what the servant is supposed to do, which is
serve.
So what's being demonstrated there is that serving the same as this? It's not. Right? Her serving Jesus and probably giving them food is not the same as light to the nations. But what it's showing is that she's sick in the physical realm. She's sick, she's healed, and her response is she serves. What is Israel supposed to do in the spiritual sense? They're sick, healed, and they're supposed to serve. You see the parallelism? Okay. Who's healing this lady?
Jesus.
Who's supposed to heal Israel?
Jesus.
What did this lady do in response to Jesus' healing?
Serve.
What is Israel supposed to do in response to Jesus' healing?
Serve.
So you see, the servant comes to heal the servant so that the servant can serve. Alright? So far, diseases and healing comes from
God.
Diseases and healing go to the servant, Israel. So that the servant who gets healed will be able to
serve.
Alright? You see why this is an important paradigm? Right through. Okay. Let's turn to Matthew 10, verse 5 and 8. And this is important because of remember the servant and his children? Now the servant is teaching his children right through. But now in Matthew chapter 10, he's now going to send his children out to do the signs and wonders. Alright, so let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to 8.
These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay."
All right. So what's he doing? So Jesus is sending out whom? The apostles. He's sending the apostles out where? The children you have given me will be signs and wonders in Israel. Right? I and the children you've given me will become signs and wonders in Israel. So now, the children are going to go out into Israel to do what?
Signs and wonders.
What are the signs and wonders?
Heal the sick, raise the dead,
cleanse
lepers, cast out demons.
Why are there demons in the land, by the way?
Idols.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're worshiping idols. So they're possessed by their gods. Right? What was the servant supposed to have in Isaiah 42? Does anyone remember?
The Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, the Spirit of the Lord. The servant is supposed to have the Spirit of the Lord. If the servant trusts in the Lord and obeys the Lord, the servant gets the Spirit of the Lord in order to do the work of the Lord. But they've chosen to worship
idols.
So who do they get?
Demons.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So they're going out and they're casting out these demons because, and they're healing so that they can be signs and wonders in
Israel.
Now, how is their healing? How is their healing going to be signs and wonders? How are people going to see these signs and know that these are signs and wonders that indicate that they need to turn to the Lord? Oh, supposed to.
Well, because they know Moses.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you all something. I'm going to come up to your tables, quickly take a look at this, and then we'll end with this. Do you see this?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't want to set up the projector just to show you. Do you see this?
Yeah.
All right. You see this? Yeah? What you get? Yeah? Saw this? Sign?
Yeah.
It's actually a road sign, by the way.
It's actually a road sign.
It's a road sign.
Black cars can go this way, black cars can go this way.
It's a car segregation. Right? You see this?
The car that Jesus drives is in.
I only saw one set of fire. It was then that I was carrying your car. Yeah.
So that sign means that any color car can go there.
What is it? What do you think it means? We'll end with this. What do you think it means?
Old fast.
No, but really is a car. It really is a Jew. I don't make this up.
Oh, okay.
It is a real sign, like road sign.
Well, I don't drive so much.
No, no. What does that so road sign actually mean?
No pass.
So if you see a red like no hexagon,
sure,
have you seen this car? Have you seen it before?
None of us can drive out of here.
Have you ever seen
it? Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
No. Is this just an Indian thing? Oh.
Dog, not feather. I can say that. Okay. It is an Indian thing, actually.
Okay.
So I showed it in our house, right? My mom drives in India. So dad has never driven in India. My dad used to drive in India. And my dad said, yeah, this is what the sign means. My mom's like, oh, I've never seen this sign. And so then it's like a message. No, it's no overtaking. No overtaking. That's what it means. No passing. Right? And it's an official sign. But none of us knew it because it's not a sign that's relevant to us.
Yeah.
Right? So signs only mean something if people know the meaning of the sign.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And next week, what we're going to do is we're going to see whether these signs are demonstrated to one group of people and how these signs are demonstrated to another group of people. And some people get it and other people don't. Because some people were told what the meaning of the sign was long ago. And others were not. And so some signs are relevant to some groups and they're not relevant to other groups. And until we understand that, we're not going to understand how the signs work out in 2020.
Alright? Thank you, Jerry. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Alright, let's end in prayer. I'm here to answer any questions we have. Right? Yeah, Dave.
Yeah. Father, we thank you that you are a God who reveals himself in Scripture, that we can study your word and know your word. Just pray, Father, that it'll help us to worship you better, to know you better, to love you more. We just thank you for Jerry and all of his teaching and the preparation that he puts into this. Father, we just pray as we turn now to go upstairs, that you will open our hearts and minds again and help us to prepare for worshiping you and sharing communion together. We just thank you, Father, for all these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen.